phrases there in that particular song. Death is dead. The thing, perhaps, that we fear the most and we see happening all around and about us. Well, because of what happened on that first Easter morning, it was long promised, but because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, death is dead. Love has won. Christ has conquered. And we shall reign with him, that's Jesus, for he lives. Christ is risen from the dead. So Easter time, we have the cross on the Friday, Good Friday, and then we have Easter Day and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, what's it all about? I've used this message recently, but I've changed the names, and the names have been changed to protect the innocent. But it's about a friend of mine called Henry, and a friend of his called Hyacinth gets involved as well at one particular point. But Henry was very confused with what most of us will find very confusing, and that is the cross. What is the cross really all about? So this is the life of Henry, and it's about the cross confusion. I don't know if you find the cross confusing, but Henry certainly did. So let's have a look at Henry's life and see how he found the cross confusing. Now, the first time that my friend Henry ever came across a cross was at school. He'd started school. He was going to Willowbrook Primary, and his teacher gave him a maths lesson, and she set them a little lesson, and she said, "Now, Henry, here's the little lesson for you today. Here's the sum I want you to do. What is 3 plus 4? Now, most of you will get that okay. What is 3 plus 4? Does anybody know, by the way? I mean, you're quite a clever group here. Dan, do you know? 7. You think it's 7? Well, he got it wrong, didn't he? Henry got it wrong. He put 9. 3 plus 4 equals 9. So his teacher put a cross next to the sum. That's the first time he'd seen a cross. And so he put his hand up. Miss. And so miss came across. Yes, Henry. Miss. I've done the sum. 3 plus 4 equals 9. And you put a cross. What does that mean? Well, she said, "Well, Henry, get your little fingers out." So fingers came out, and let's have 3 on this side, 3 on this side, 4 on that side. Now you count them. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, put them together. Count them all together, Henry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's 7. Yes. So Henry, when you see a cross sign, it means you are wrong. So a cross means you are wrong. Now Henry got that. Henry got it. He thought he understood. Now here's where it gets confusing. Because a few years later, he left Willowbrook, and I think, yeah, that's right, he went to St. Iltyd's up the hill there towards Rumney, and in the first year, he thought girls were a bit of a nuisance, but then in the second year, they became a little bit more interesting, and there was a girl in the second year, that's year 8, he thought she was lovely, and her name was Hyacinth Smith. Oh, Hyacinth. He can only think about Hyacinth. And one day, in a lesson, it happened to be a maths lesson, a friend of his passed him a note. And it turns out, it was from Hyacinth. And I've got the little letter here. And it started off, "Dear Henry." He goes, "Oh, dear Henry." She thinks I'm dear. And lots of words in it. And at the bottom, it said, she signed her name, Hyacinth. But then Henry got really quite upset because at the bottom of the letter, Hyacinth had put 3 crosses. And he thought, oh no, the cross means you're wrong. So he was really upset, and he had to leave the class. And he went home, and he came in the house, he was crying, and his mum said, "Now Henry, whatever's the matter?" It's Hyacinth, mum, I thought she loved me and I certainly love her, but look, she's put, you're wrong. And his mother said, "Oh, Henry, don't be silly. When you see a cross on a letter, it doesn't mean you're wrong. It means I love you. Henry, it means Hyacinth loves you." "She loves me?" "Yes." Yes, Henry, she loves you. Well, he thought he got all that worked out then. So the cross can mean you're wrong, right, I've got that. It can also mean just the opposite, that I love you. So anyway, he thought he got that worked out. Now, a few years later, he thought he'd better learn to ride his bike properly. So a policeman came to school and gave her cycling lessons. And at the end of the lessons, the policeman said, now, I want to show you some road signs, and you tell me what they mean. So, Henry, what does this road sign mean? And it was that cross again. So he thought, oh, no, does it mean I failed my cycling test? Does it mean the policeman loves me? And he thought a bit more, no, I know what it means. It means there's a crossroads coming up and you have to make a decision. Do you carry on the way you're going or do you turn off and go in another direction? So he's got it worked out. Now the cross can mean three different things. It can mean you're wrong. It can mean I love you. It can mean it's time to make a decision. Well, whilst all this is going on, Henry started going to St. Mellon's Baptist Church, Sunday school and Friday clubs. And then with his mum and dad, he started coming to morning services as well. And that's a lovely thing to do. Little hint, if your kiddies come to Sunday school, why not come to church as well? It really is lovely. Every Sunday morning, we sing hymns and we pray and we read the Bible and we have an exciting message from God. Then tea and coffee out the back and we do the same things at 6 o'clock. So it's a lovely thing to do. But anyway, Henry learnt about another cross. And it's the cross we remember all the time, but particularly on Good Friday, there was a hill outside Jerusalem. And on that hill were three crosses, but the one in the middle is the one that Henry was taught about. What does the cross of Jesus Christ mean? It gets very confusing. Now, there's no doubt that he lived. He split time in two. There's no doubt that he died. I mean, history, a great weight of evidence for Jesus Christ. Volumes of books and millions of books written about this one solitary life. But why does he die on a cross? Well, in the reading that I read earlier, Paul says, I want to tell you the most important thing, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sin, according to the scriptures. So what does the cross of Jesus Christ mean? Well, first of all, it means that sin is serious. It means that we are wrong. We have a problem. If it would take Almighty God to become a man to deal with sin, and he goes all the way to a cross on Calvary, although he lived a perfect life, God becomes a man, stays here for 33 years, then he dies on the cross. What does sin do? Sin brings death. Sin means we don't know God. We might know about him, but we don't know him. Sin brings physical death, and sin brings eternal death. But here's the wonderful message of Good Friday and Easter in the Bible. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died the death that we deserve. That's an amazing thing. So the cross, when we see the cross symbol, either on our maths book or on a letter or a road sign, but certainly this cross, it means, my friends, take it personally as well. You are wrong. And when I'm pointing to you, there's three fingers pointing back to me. I am wrong. One thing we all have in common is we've all sinned. None of us can even keep our own standards, and sin is serious. It brings death, and the cross means that we're wrong. But also it means this, surely, if God would die for me, if God would come from eternity and take a human body and live for 33 years and going around doing good and being misunderstood and rejected and despised and nailed to a cross, it certainly means this, that God loves me. And it's no platitude when I say God loves you. And if you remember nothing else from this service, don't forget this. God loves you. Oh, how do I know? So many problems in my life. What about Calvary? That he will go to the cross with you in mind, with you in view, with you in full focus. Why is he there? Why does he stay on the cross? He could have stopped it all. He remained Almighty God, but he stays there because he loves you and me. And he must pay our debt if we are to go free. If he come down from the cross, if he bypassed the cross, we might well still be here. But all we'd have is religion. And that's a terrible thing. Just singing hymns, saying prayers, stand up, sit down, trying to be good. That's religion. But this is reality. Now, if the cross means that we're wrong and that God loves us, it certainly means this too. It's decision time when we see the cross. Here we are this morning. You can do one of two things. You can think, oh, I've heard these things before, or maybe you're just letting your minds wander right now. The cross of Jesus Christ means, do you carry on as you are, or do you obey the command of the Bible to turn around? It's called repent. Repent of what? What I am and what I do. And turn from me and turn to God. I have that decision to make. But if we do turn around and change course, we are forgiven. We come to know God. We're guaranteed heaven when we die as we must. But one final thing. We might say, well, that's 2,000 years ago. How do we know it's all true? We know it's true because of what happened on this day. Now, in many churches, you've got all high-tech stuff, and there'll be pictures going on the wall at this point. But me, I do all my own drawings. Here we are. That's how we know it's true, because... anyone guess what this actually represents here? What am I trying to draw here? What is that? Oh, well done. Thank you, son. An empty tomb. Now, the disciples and the women were not expecting a resurrection. They went to the tomb to anoint the body, and they had a problem. Who will roll the stone away? They weren't expecting it. The disciples had disappeared. They'd run away. Peter had denied him. They weren't expecting it. But when they got to the tomb, the stone was rolled away. The grave was empty. An angel said, he's not here. Just as he said he would, he's risen. He's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. He appeared to many. I read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He appeared to many. To Peter, to the 12, to 500 in one time at one place. Many saw him. How do we know the resurrection happened? Because in particular, those 12 disciples, now, they were transformed by this. They went around saying, it's almost too good to be true, folks. But we've seen him. We touched him. He ate food with us. We know he's alive. And Jesus said, go and tell everybody that I'm alive. And tell them that because I'm alive, it proves who I claim to be. And it means that sin has been dealt with. All people need to do is repent and trust in me. And so they went around. But how do we know it's all true? I'll tell you this. Over the next 40 years, 10 of those disciples were thrown into prison. Stop speaking about the resurrection, the authorities said. But they kept on speaking in prison. And when they came out, they spoke again. So they're thrown back into prison, but they kept on speaking. They were beaten, but they kept on speaking. You know, 10 of them were executed, but there's no historical record of even one of them saying, well, hold on a minute. Maybe I'm not so sure. Not one of them in history recanted or turned around from that message of Jesus and the resurrection. I tell you, that's very, very powerful. Not one of them. And of those 500, many would have suffered the same fate. But what about me? How do I know it's all true? Might have escaped your notice. Maybe I might have told one or two people. I'm 60 soon. I might have mentioned it. I was converted when I was 19. And it happened in Brisbane, Australia. And I had two cousins there at the time. They're still there. And one... he's in the ministry, a man called Grant, and he's a year younger than me. When he saw I was 60 coming up and all the celebrations this weekend, the family are down and things, he sent me a little message on Facebook saying, thank God for what happened 41 years ago. And he said this, it's good to see that you've kept faithful over those 41 years. I know what he meant, but let me put it this way. Why have I kept on for 41 years? Well, I'll tell you why. Because he kept me. He kept me. And 41 years ago, what happened is this. I came from atheism to reality through the truth of the Bible, hearing the message, and in repenting and believing, I came to know God myself. Now, I haven't seen the resurrected Jesus Christ. One day I will. But I tell you this, I met him. You ask me how I know he lives. Well, I'll tell you. And it might sound a bit trite, but it's true. He lives within... my heart. I've met him. Those men touched him personally and they ate with him. on the 4th of August 1976, I had a living encounter with him that changed my life too. And I've been keeping on because I know it's true. And I keep on keeping on because he keeps me in every walk of life. We're going to finish with another song in a moment. Because he lives, because of Easter Sunday. I mean, so many problems. What's happening in North Korea now? What's happening in America? I don't know how close the clock is to midnight. Don't worry, folks. God is in control. And I know that because Christ is risen from the dead. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know a man who does. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Life is worth living just because he lives. I tell you, it's life changing. It's eternity changing. Have you trusted him? Is he your Savior? I don't know how people cope without him. We muddle through, maybe. We turn a blind eye to things. We just bury our heads. But reality is reality. Oh, come to Christ. Repent and believe the good news. If you want to know how I did that personally, if you know enough now to trust him right where you're sitting, God have mercy on me, a sinner. Would you forgive me? Of course he will. Of course he will. He came from heaven to Calvary and back to heaven again so that you could be forgiven and restored to God and certain of heaven when you pass through this physical death. And the Bible calls it falling asleep. That's why dying is falling asleep and then wakening to the glories of heaven. Well, do stay behind for tea and coffee. Do come again on a Sunday morning at 10:30. Bring the whole family. It's a good thing to do to worship God together.